big sky, big potential. In association with Mills and Reeve, this is Eastern Promise. Achieving more together. Listeners old and new, welcome to episode 93 of the Eastern Promise podcast. Innovation is the beating heart of this week's episode, whether in industry or research, direct from the recent Norwich Food Science Supercluster Summit. In this episode, we'll hear from the Vice-Chancellor of the University of East Anglia, Professor David Maguire, opening the second half of the session. We'll also hear from innovators, those guiding and developing innovation, scientists translating their work into new products and processes, and the investment that Norwich's groundbreaking food and drink sector is making in partnership with nearby research institutes such as the John Innes Centre. And finally, sport! What is it good for? Physical and mental well-being. So, let's get a Mexican wave going in another grandstanding crowd sorcery. The recent Eastern Promise event at the Quadrum Institute, calling for the establishment of a Norwich Food Science Supercluster, has not simply given this podcast weeks' worth of material. No, sir. It's allowed Eastern Promise to embed the concept of the Norwich Food Science Supercluster deep within the consciousness of leaders and organisations across the city, the County of Norfolk and beyond. Few leaders from the East of England lead an organisation as pivotal as the University of East Anglia, the UEA. It was therefore an honour to have Vice-Chancellor Professor David Maguire kickstart the second half of the event to give us his take on the discussion so far. Our re-captain, if you will.
Good morning again, everybody, and thank you for coming back for this next important session. I think we've had a great day so far, and congratulations to the organiser for getting us all here. I think it's a really, really important topic, isn't it, this idea of building the Norwich Food Science Supercluster. George gave, I think, a really exciting 3-minute speech. Gosh, it felt longer. So exciting. And he talked about those three big challenges, didn't he? Connectivity, energy and skills. Absolutely critical that we get digital and physical connectivity in this part of the world and that we exploit the opportunities that clean energy brings to the region, and we use that as a way to drive forward our skills base, but also the economy more widely. And then the first panel was on that subject of skills, right through from the earliest developmental stages through to lifelong learning and advanced activity. We also learned about the triangle concept, so beloved of estate agents as a way to increase prices by 5 to 10%, also works in terms of investment and infrastructure, the Deer and Wyndham Norwich triangle extending out to Cambridge, really important. And we heard about investment and the huge potential that there is to invest in this region for everybody's benefit, and the fact that though we are skint as a country and economy, there are still nonetheless opportunities there for the very best projects. And it was really pleasing to hear about some of the really best projects originating from our region. At perhaps a more local micro scale, one of the things that the university has been doing is working with Food Innovation Cluster, along with partners in the District Council and Heffel Innovation, to try and work with small and medium-sized businesses to grow their ability to develop their businesses and to grow not just locally and nationally, but also internationally as well. It's that clustering approach of bringing together people with skills in academia, people with skills in industry, and providing a real focus, I think, which is growing up from the bottom, as well as some of these big projects that we've seen top down. So let me just leave that for a thought in your mind, and I think we're going to have another film, and then we're going to get the next panel on.
Thank you very much. Professor David Maguire.
I'm indebted to Professor David Maguire, Vice-Chancellor of the University of East Anglia, for that excellent start to the second half of the event. And now, for your edification and education, is the final short film on innovation featuring, in order of appearance, or whatever the audio equivalent of that is, and playing themselves, the voices of Professor Nick Talbot of the Sainsbury Laboratory, Dr. Kat Edwards of the Quadrum Institute, Ros Bird of Anglia Innovation Partnership, Alex Larter of the University of East Anglia and the Broadland Food Innovation Cluster, and Dr. Rosario Campilongo of PF Bio.
The reason the Sainsbury Laboratory is in Norwich was because they looked around the country and they realised the place you have to put is Norwich, because this had more expertise in plant molecular biology than anywhere in the world.
So it's a really, really broad range of disciplines that impact on the food system. And here on the Norwich Research Park, we have that unique combination of expertise that we need to tackle every single piece of that food chain. So this is a huge opportunity for us.
We're number one in the country on the Research Excellence Framework for Nutrition.
And so it's really important that we harness the expertise that we have on the Norwich Research Park, which is world leading, especially in food and drink research.
PF Bio is a joint center spin-out company, and it's a company that operates in the agri-tech sectors. We develop a bio solution for crop protection to improve plant health.
As a scientist previously, I knew nothing about setting up a company and what you need to do that.
There are lots of challenges on the way. The process is not very linear, I would say.
Understanding how you do everything from applying for funding, securing investment, all the way through to sort of business development skills that I personally had never thought I would need.
We produce amazing science in Norwich Research Park at John Innes and then the other organization, the institutes that are here. And I think there are great opportunities to develop new businesses. And I think Anglia Innovation Partnership and other people from all these institutes are doing an amazing job in creating a strong communities. But I think there is more work to do to improve the ecosystem that also will attract investors.
Now, with interesting characters like Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, and Mark Zuckerberg around, innovation can often seem like it happens in a sudden flash of inspiration to gifted individuals with outputs that have at best a questionable value to humanity. The truth is that, much like it takes a village to raise a child, true innovation is a community effort from industry, research institutes, local government, entrepreneurs, and investors. To find out how that works in practice, let's hear from Hethel Innovation's Head of Innovation, Imogen Shipperley, Chief Operating Officer at Anglia Innovation Partnership, which manages Norwich Research Park, Dr. Nick Goodwin, CEO of Condimentum, Dave Martin, and Dr. John Clark, Head of Business Development at the John Innes Centre.
Right, first of all, I'm going to ask Dave to introduce himself and sort of kick off with the first question, which is, Condimentum is the custodian of probably the best-known brand in Norfolk. And just once you've introduced what you do, just tell us all the fantastic innovation work you're doing with that brand, because I've heard some really exciting things from you, from Alex Larter. Over to you.
Yes, first of all, good afternoon, everybody. I'm David Martin. I'm the CEO of Condimentum Limited. No prizes for guessing what we do. Condimentum is the Latin take on condiments. We process the fresh mint leaf and the mustard into a superfine mustard flour. Effectively, we have a business that started off from a brainchild from a chap in the audience here, actually, Michael Sly, who's hiding away there, called between us some 8 years ago, where he basically came up with the idea and said, look, we have all of this agricultural expertise and knowledge. And the Unilever are the brand owners of Coleman's of Norwich. And we'd like to extend our responsibility, our ownership, if you like, from just the agricultural to the manufacturing and the supply chain responsibility. So it was a bit of a challenge to actually stand and talk with Unilever about the idea of us taking that, building a state-of-the-art facility and taking that responsibility away from Unilever, leaving Unilever to drive the brand, because that's all of their expertise in terms of driving the brand commercially. But again, we had this responsibility to kind of to build this facility. And you're absolutely right, Mike. We do see ourselves as the custodian of this brand, which is over 200 years old now. But equally, we were clear with the Coleman's team, with the Unilever team, that we wanted to build to go beyond the supply and the support of the Coleman's brand. We wanted to build a food ingredients facility that's something that Norfolk could be proud of. And we feel we're well on that journey now. Yes, we do have the responsibility to make sure we kind of drive the brand and the initiatives and the innovation. And we do that together in partnership with Unilever. There's some really exciting innovation projects that we're working on at the moment, specifically around taking what we do and converting. That was interesting to listen to Tristan about, you know, some of the ideas around energy. You know, we have a superfine process that produces the mustard that goes into Coleman's. But we have this process that also generates quite a volume of what we call byproduct, which is the husk that comes off the mustard seed as a natural part of the milling process. Now, we produce hundreds of tons of this product. Now, we're working on two key innovation projects. One is we'd like to sell this husk. At the moment, it's a cost stream. We pay to get hundreds of tons of this byproduct taken off our facility every year. We've developed a process where we can mill that husk into a coarse flour to use as a shelf life extender in lots of products, a natural preservative and shelf life extender. There's also a particular variety of mustard that we process that doesn't lend itself particularly well as a preservative, but we can potentially use that as a renewable energy, as a product that can go into a biomass process that can hopefully, you know, help us generate some of the energy we need. So we do have, as I say, a number of kind of innovative ideas. But I think the key message for us is when we started the business, we started the business with a single customer, albeit a fantastic customer in Unilever, the owners of Coleman's. But the ambition to build a business beyond the kind of Coleman support was always there. We now ship to product around the world. 80% of everything we produce, of all the mustard we produce, doesn't actually end up as a finished product paste on the supermarket shelf. The mustard is used as a base ingredient in lots of products, and we kind of recognize that potential. We now produce and send product to 17 countries around the world and have over 30 customers now, starting from just one customer back in 2020, our first production year. So we're really quite proud of not only what we've achieved, but also the potential. I've just come back from a week in Dubai, where it was the International Food Ingredients and Food Technology Exhibition. It is the World Cup of exhibitions. And I saw some really wonderful ideas and opportunities there that we can potentially bring back to Norfolk and kind of develop ourselves. So we're quite excited about the scale of the opportunity that we've got in front of us.
That's fantastic. Now, Imogen, Hethel Innovation is an incredibly well-known name in Norfolk and beyond, most probably best known for, well, Hethel. But tell us about what innovation means to you in your role and the kind of the swathe of things that Hethel Innovation do.
So, hello everyone. My name is Imogen Shipley. I'm Head of Innovation at Hethel Innovation. Fundamentally, as an organisation, we're here to develop and deliver innovation platforms and clusters, and we run innovation sites such as Broadland Food Innovation Centre, Hethel Engineering Centre and Scotto Enterprise Park. When I was given... that's a really good question when that I'm trying to think of how we answer. And one of the things that innovation means to us, at the crux of everything that we deliver, is economic development. So my role essentially is to make sure that we, as a company, are delivering economic development within our region. And what does economic development mean to us? It means creating a space for businesses or individuals to innovate. And innovation can be defined in a number of different ways. We tend to use the definition that innovation means creating a viable new offering. But for me, the most interesting and important word in that definition is viable. So if you can come up with a great idea, but if it's not providing any value to your customer and solving a customer challenge or addressing a customer need, then it's not really innovation. So we have that kind of at the forefront of everything that we do when we look at how we run innovation centres, for example. So Broadland Food Innovation Centre has not just the physical space to try and incubate businesses and help them grow, but we have a team dedicated to actually sitting down one-on-one with businesses, taking them through strategy, taking them through a sort of an understanding of who their customer is as they're developing a product. And then they can go from kind of having those discussions and developing that idea further to then using the test kitchen that we have at the site to develop the product. They can then take the product that they're developing and use the sensory facilities that we have to actually test those products with customers and test their assumption that the customers are actually going to like it. And then you have units, small, medium, large units up to about 3,000 square foot, where businesses can start to actually build up that production capability and capacity. So innovation to me and within my role is really making sure that we have the activities in place and the space for businesses to really focus on creating an idea that is useful and valuable to solving a challenge for a customer.
Thank you, Imogen. John, you have walked the walk of your colleagues, some of your colleagues there described. Could you perhaps tell us your experience of being starting up Spin Out and scale companies and where you think that can be sharpened up here or indeed, you know, the benefits of doing it here?
So my name's John Clark. I'm Head of Business Development and I lead Knowledge Exchange and Commercialization at the John Innes Centre. So I came here in 1985 and I guess one of the things that I think is interesting about the time that I've spent here is the journey that the park's made since that time. So in 1985, I think most of the research that would have been done at John Innes rarely progressed to becoming a commercial product unless it was passed to a plant breeder who then improved a crop. During that time, we went through a lot of, you know, major changes in technology, and that started to change the perspective on whether we could commercialise it. It's been interesting to see how the scientists who've worked within the organisation have also grown in terms of their willingness and their ambition to see their research translated right the way through to a product. And I've had the real pleasure and joy of working with many of those scientists and helping them along that journey. I think one of the things that has been really difficult is to identify the right skill sets and ensure that we have empowered the scientists within the research organisations to make those transitions. You've heard it. There is no doubt we have some of the best intellectual minds in the country. The innovation is profoundly amazing, and I'm always in awe of what my colleagues do. But those colleagues don't necessarily have the capabilities to take it the next step. Sometimes they don't see what the innovation is, they don't actually see what the relevant part of it is, and sometimes when they do, they don't quite know how to get it there. So we need business people to help us to make those transitions, and that's what I've been trying to do, both bring some of my own experience and help that transition, but also more importantly to bring in others who have that experience. So the step that is making the difference is now that we are actually getting people coming back to Norwich Research Park who have been away in other parts of the world, have learnt to do this, and are now helping us take companies out. And I'm delighted. I mean, 2 weeks ago, I founded a new company with two JIC alumni who had been out in New Zealand and in the States, and they're coming back to put their business here. And when I asked them, why are you coming back here? They said, well, we always wanted to do it here. There just wasn't the setup to do it here. And now they come back and say, it's here. I know I can recruit the best people who will work in my business to turn the wheel to make my ambition come true. I know they're there. I don't need to worry about it. They're there. I can recruit them. I've got first take on this amazing community.
Yeah.
And I think when I first saw it happen was with Tropic Bioscience that you will know here, and Gilad Gershon turned up one day. And I met him in the Centrum, and he said, I want to start a business. And he said, I want to do gene editing in tropical crops. And I said, what do you need? He said, everything. And I said, OK. And we opened the doors to John Innes. I think it was probably the first time he'd ever done it. I said, here's a lab. Here's a PhD student that knows who's worked on doing. In this case, it was transformation in coffee. You know, it's like, you know, you turn up at John Innes, and you can find someone that's done that. The journey from, you know, really nurturing and incubating that first idea concept with a great individual through to the point where it goes out, goes onto NRP, creates a business. Now it's what? Got over 100 million investment. It is employing 150 people. That couldn't have happened in 85. It can happen now. And I just feel that what we collectively need to do is go, okay, we've got one company that's doing that. I want 10. I want 20. And when we have that, boy, this place is really going to kick off.
Before I bring in Nick, there's just something I want to explore there, because from some of the work I've done with the Civic UEA side of things, I know that Norfolk Community Law Service makes fantastic use of UEA trainee lawyers. Is there a case for, and this may already happen and I don't know about it, which is entirely possible, but is there a case for bringing in, and we tried to get them here today, the UEA Business School and some of their students to come and give, to help, as we heard, scientists who have very little experience of what it involves, why should they, and get that over the line?
Well, there's a couple of things, and I'm sure you've got an experience of this as well. So one of the things I did a while ago was to build two relationships which have been really important in terms of taking companies out. One of them was with MBS at UEA, and the other was with, and that's more recently, is Norwich University of the Arts. And these were relationships that John Innes would not normally have established, because they were kind of completely outside of our basic research. Those two connections did a fantastic thing. So I have a company startup, I can go into MBS, and I can get access to 8 MBA students, get them on a project to look at this look at my company venture, and give me insights immediately in how I can move it forward. I can go to Norwich University of the Arts and say, we want to design a product. I have no idea what the packaging looks like. I have no idea what the branding looks like. Oh, here are a group of 20 undergraduate students who will design your packaging for you. It cost me nothing. I did two things with that. One, I empowered the company. But the second thing I did was I gave those students an opportunity to work with a real business and become part of it. And it's exciting because some of those have transitioned over to work within the companies that have then been formed. So this is the ecosystem. We just need to open the doors, we've talked about it, to allow companies to come in and experience that. And I'm saying your company has done something similar, because I know you've had some MBA students work for one of your projects.
Yeah, I mean, we're really proud of the fact that we have, in fact, we've recently, Shang and I have talked about the KTP partnership, where there's an opportunity for us to, the application's in, we're hoping over the next few weeks to get approval, but that will give us a significant scientific approach to the products. If we genuinely want to become the centre of excellence for condiment ingredient processing, that we're globally, I mean, this is going to help us take that huge step. I mean, you're right, actually, Jonathan. We engaged with the MBA cohort to produce to dig into a significant piece of market research around the opportunity around the ingredients that we use. We've used the the MBA engineering department for the opportunities around and some proposals around renewables. So you're absolutely right. I mean, you know, the previous group mentioned about, you know, collaboration, and I think it needs to go with courage. You need to remain focused, and you know, Tristan and I just talked about some of the challenges we had with our businesses, you know, trying to overcome some of the kind of initial technology issues, but you need to be persistent. And I think the partnership arrangements that we've got now are really exciting, and genuinely will help us take that next key step.
They're mighty things. Nick, it must feel pretty good, because you've just heard panel after panel after panel saying how wonderful this park is. He said, referring to his sheet. Just, I invite you to reflect on those wonderful comments, and you know, talk about the role that Anglia Innovation Partnership plays on this park and helping businesses from the very earliest points to just grow.
Sure.
Onward.
Thanks, Mike. My name is Nick Goodwin. I'm Chief Operating Officer for Anglia Innovation Partnership. We're the Science Park Management entity on the park that, in others' words, is a central coordinating body, effectively, that supports everything that we're trying to achieve on the park, both for the purposes of supporting the institutes, but also businesses that want to be here. And I think, on reflection, I think the theme that we, our mantra is really that there's three things that need to be in place. You need to have the people, the facilities, and the funding. And you've heard a little bit about all of those in previous panels, and I'll just touch on some of those and how they connect to innovation. And so, to Tristan's point about having a place to land that's simple, straightforward, and accessible now, you know, the ground buildings that James referred to are a way of doing that. Effectively, they're spec buildings. And by achieving that next stage of growth for grain companies that would take that space, we are freeing up space within other buildings that are better suited to the early stages of innovation and supporting those companies on their journey from being a virtual tenant who is just out there seeking investment and forming a company, through to them taking their initial offices or laboratories so that they can actually get investors' money, you know, delivering results and hitting those milestones that see them on their growth trajectory. But a business that comes to a site like this wants to know, what can I do and for how long, and is everything I need for the next 10 years available and on what basis? And so that is really what one of our core functions at Anglia Innovation Partnership is to try and achieve, is to have an answer to every question that anyone could ask at the moment they arrive. So that ability to provide guidance about who to speak with. We have a science collaboration manager. Her sole job is to bring people together within the community and support people coming into the park who have an interest in being here to understand how to engage and who to speak with. And that provides immediate value to their business, whether they're here or not. By doing so, you create that seed of opportunity that says, actually, I need to be here for more than just a quick relationship and a project. It's, I see the opportunity for recruiting people to for my business, bringing in investors who are confident that if they deploy their capital here to form a business and help it grow, it's got an opportunity to do that for as quickly as possible. It's not passive capital that's just waiting to be deployed. It's active and it's delivering returns. And so we shouldn't forget, though, that facilities aren't just buildings. They are people. The capability to support all these technologies and capabilities is founded in the scientists that operate them. But also the ability to be able to respond. Food science is a fast-developing, innovative space. And my organisation has to have a look forward, a step, know what the next step ahead is for those organisations before perhaps they sometimes realise it, so that it's available so that they can deploy that effort quickly. And so there are others in our team who are there to make the facilities available, to provide the funding or access to funding that enables them to do their work quickly. Some of that is public sector funding, some of that is private investment. But also to ensure that the community, once it's here, gets every little ounce wrung out of it quickly. And so an example of that, and this is something that Roz brought in almost the minute she arrived in Norwich, was our Enterprise Tuesday events, a huge showcase opportunity. We've run, I think, three of those now. Next one's on the 5th of March, and that's had 280 registrations. And I would say 60% of those are from outside of the park who want to know what is going on, how to engage and how to invest.
You have done, I think, a superb job of building up that that community, that sense of community on the park, not just in the Centrum building, but across that. And that's something that's so important, so vital, and so pleased you're doing it. I just invite Imogen to reflect on that and how Hethel is doing the same at the Broadford Innovation Centre, but more broadly across all the properties.
Yeah, one of our key focuses at Hethel is to make sure that we are able to actually create those connections and echo everything that's been said today. Collaboration is the fundamental aspect of being able to create any kind of innovative idea or product. The idea that you can kind of sit with someone in a completely different sector but actually create something, a product that might be useful for any business is really exciting. And so collaboration, again, is something that we really try and foster at all of our sites, not just Broadland Food Innovation Centre. But one of the ways that we try and do that is by creating spaces for people to come together. So we run innovation platforms that focus around a particular challenge that we come across from speaking to lots of different businesses. So in the past, we've set up and created the algae innovation platform from speaking to lots of businesses about the applications that seaweed can have within different products and services. And from that have spun out projects such as the Seaweed in East Anglia project, which is funded through the Norfolk Investment Framework, which is essentially a feasibility study to really understand what is the seaweed industry and what are the applications for seaweed within our local economy. And one of the key things that's coming out is we've got the research and development capabilities here to look at how we can use seaweed in food products, how we can use seaweed in packaging. So there's some really exciting stuff coming out, and that's why we run a lot of these groups. We've also worked with the cluster on a protein plant-based protein innovation platform, again, trying to bring together not just businesses and not just researchers and not just public sector, but they're spaces where we bring together people from all these different backgrounds. And even if you're not in the sector and you're just interested in seaweed, you know, come along and join the conversation and see what's going on, because that's how innovation occurs. It's from having interesting conversations and ideas just spring from it.
This might be straying away from the topic slightly, but it's one of the joys of doing Eastern Promises. I get to chase down my own personal curiosity. Is that we've heard from previous panels about how the whole picture can seem in Norfolk and in Norwich a little bitty, a little siloed, I think was Tristan's word. On the one hand, yes, I agree. On the other hand, I'm very, very keen to respect and honour the work that Nick, for example, is doing to get this part going, and not, you know, how do, and same with Hethel, and the same with John Innes, and the same with Condimentum. How do we create, and I think I'll start with John, we'll go across, how do we create some kind of overarching narrative that holds true to all of us and yet doesn't interfere, doesn't skew what you're doing, lets you get on with your jobs to an extent that you're happy with?
Okay, so I think the way I've dealt with this is to say we need to look at supply chains. And when I look at supply chains, it makes it much easier for me to understand who is important to the success of my business. So one of the things that we have in this region is we have the ability to grow a crop in a field, get that crop into a centre for processing, get that into a food product, get that out onto the supermarket shelf, and get that into human consumption. The bit that we'd kind of missed in all of that was how nutritious was that food, and was that potentially going to be something where you might get a clinical outcome from an improvement to a primary crop. And we were doing fundamental research to do those improvements to primary crops, but we hadn't really thought about, you know, what and how would we get it all the way through. When I was able to look at that supply chain, I could say, well, actually, I've got people over here I could work with. I've got people over there I could work with. Actually, I've got a better way of communicating to the outside world that we have the capability to take that innovation right the way through to the point where it becomes a successful product. So that's why the connections are important, and that's why when we bring our have our networking sessions, whether it's through events at RNAA, whether it's at AIP or at Hethel or here on the research park, when we get some of those people to come in, we start to have those conversations and it starts to open up, And I think the ecosystem of businesses will become much stronger.
Yeah, I think I'd like to pick up on that theme of supply chain, because we're quite fortunate to have a vertically integrated structure. I mean, one of the things that really excited me about Condimentum and the prospect of working with Michael and the English mustard growers and David Bond and the Norfolk mint growers was the opportunity to have this vertically integrated structure where we literally, right from the agricultural, the farm, right the way through to fork, we have that, we manage that supply chain. And I think the power that, and the agility that comes with that structure is something that we, you know, we're shamelessly not falling short of shouting about it. We're literally, you know, it is a key attribute of our business. It's the first thing that I talk to procurement directors from, you know, from the likes of Kerry and Unilever. When they come in, we talk about, you know, de-risking the supply chain. And we are, the idea of that being based from Norfolk with all of its agricultural heritage and experience, right the way through the whole manufacturing chain through to, you know, supplying these businesses on a B2B basis. That's something that's really powerful. I think, as I say, that whole supply chain management and control. And it's probably one of the reasons why, you know, Unilever, right from the outset, said that's what, you know, we're going to trust the farmers, you know, the mint growers and the mustard growers with building this state-of-the-art facility. Because again, it goes back, it's the heritage, it's the unique trading relationship, but also I think, as I say, it's that de-risking of the supply chain. The global marketplace principles are being challenged for the first time, and I think we need to take advantage of that.
Well, I would love to think we could come up with an overarching vision that captured everything, but I hesitate to try and talk to everybody about everything all of the time, because you lose the focus that you need to make those real connections that actually deliver results for the people involved. And so for me, it's about alignment. We've spoken about all the things we need and how that reflects on innovation and food science. But to actually get something over the line, it requires everyone to understand what the core message is in a way that the market understands. And I think Nova mentioned it, and others have mentioned it today, about groups of people with the same objectives talking about the same thing but not connecting. And that's really a familiarity issue, and the ability to bring people together who have a common insight, agenda, knowledge of the supply chain, knowledge of investment in a particular arena, I think is really where that overarching power becomes very, very realistic for us, because we have the convening power, we have the knowledge base across the park and in the region to touch on many sectors, not just food, and we have the opportunity and the investment and the space and the time to do it. And it's everything of the recipe is there. It's not just space unlimited, it's all the opportunities that those can bring. And so curating the right conversations is where our organization is trying to add value. It's not just about the space and the place, it's what can you do here and how do you do it?
And how can we help you?
Exactly. And
how can we help you?
Well, okay, well, I think one of the first things we did when Ros arrived was a simple call to action internally within the park. If you've got an idea, come and tell us what it is, and we'll work out whether we've got what we need to effectively deliver for you. And from that resulted a wide range of opportunities, people asking questions that in ways that we hadn't experienced before. And that was done at the very first showcase. And so my call to action for everyone in the room and people that you know is, come and ask us, back to Phil's point, come and ask us, pick up the phone, bump into us at wherever we end up being. We will be out in the global marketplace shouting about what we can do in an aligned way, so it's really meaningful to the people there, and bringing back opportunities. And when we come to you with opportunities, the ability to come together and have those meaningful conversations. And so don't be backwards in coming forwards.
Fantastic. Imogen, just to close, could you just give us your reflections, then we'll move on to the final panel.
I think one of the challenges that we see businesses that we talk to on a sort of day-to-day basis come up against so often is there's not always the understanding or the awareness of the R&D capabilities that we have in the region. So something that's really important for us, and we've mentioned it time and time again, is that connection piece. We need to make sure that industry are able to be aware of what we have in the region, but also are getting access to it. So I think a lot of that falls on our shoulders, like Nick's mentioned, that we need to make sure that we're physically creating those connections, but also we're working really hard to showcase the ability, the capabilities that we have in the region. And so running things like innovation platforms or events or utilising the food innovation cluster, there being a central point where we can sort of put industry in the same room as those who are in research and development and public sector, so that we can actually raise that awareness is a really key thing for us to focus on.
Thank you. And on that note, please could you express your appreciation for the innovation panel, and we'll do the old switcheroo.
My thanks to Imogen, Nick, Dave and John, to Professor Maguire and all the voices on the innovation film. Next week, we bring you the final panel, a reflection on the preceding four from Dr. Riaz Banu, Director of the Global Food Security Programme at UK Research and Innovation, Dr. Stella Peace, Director of Healthy Living and Agriculture at Innovate UK, Daniel Zeichner MP, Shadow Food and Farming Minister and MP for the City of Cambridge, and Director of the Quadrum Institute, Professor Ian Charles OBE. And now, sport! I know so much about sport. It's all about showing the opposition a clean pair of heels. I mean, at least two. Let's turn the tide in our court now, with every kick a hole in one, every smack of leather on willow going through the hoop, each putt-putt or putt, meaning you're into the pit sooner than you thought. And don't forget, your sin bin will be collected on Wednesdays. So, where are you going in the east of England to watch or participate? No extra time here, so it's straight into another goal hanging
crowd sorcery.
Yes, crowd sorcery. First out of the blocks today is the Lord of the Scrum, folk do call Tarquin Bennett Coles, for that is his name. He's also senior partner at SCI Partners, advisor for Little Bean Journey, pro bono mentor for the Homerton Changemakers, I love saying that bit, and careers in healthcare supporter for the MBA and EMBA students at the Judge Institute, says he. Great question, Mike. I used to coach and deliver first aid to the youth and mini boys and girls squads at Shelford Rugby Club, and also helped instruct at the Cambridge Academy of the Martial Arts. Clearly, they play to win at Shelford Rugby Club. Thank you, Tarquin. The rest of this week's submissions come from members of the Crowd Sorcery WhatsApp group, better known as
the Crowd Sorcerers Supreme!
To join this illustrious band, simply find me on LinkedIn and DM your details. If I post a link, I get more bots than a Star Wars convention. Keeping very active is Adam Peed, Talent and Business Development Strategist. I'm still just about playing football across Norfolk in the Veterans League. There are some fantastic clubs in the region, and a big hat tip to all the people that keep the grassroots clubs going and the facilities in great shape. Well, as for venues, we have some amazing golf courses in this region, including some in the top 100 of the world. Hard to pick just one, but I really enjoy playing at Ely, so I'll swing for that one. And Adam, my top tip for a bogey is to check my nephew's sleeve. Ugh. Meanwhile, Paula Beckenstein, commercial biopharma executive, senior advisor, board director, mentor, serial connector, and relentless optimist says, Hannam's Wake Hub, the best place for wakeboarding in Cambridgeshire. That's at hannamswakehub.com. Thank you, Paula. That looks absolutely terrifying, but nevertheless, I am delighted to have it in our region. And lastly, never one to be found at Silly Mid-Off is Dr. Tammy Dugan, Life Sciences and Healthcare Partnerships Lead at the University of Cambridge, Superconnector and Leader. She says, for me, it has to be Fenner's University Cricket Ground. That's at www.sport.cam.ac.uk/facilities/cricket-ground. Ah, yes. Do you know, it's a lasting regret of mine that I spent my university days within spitting distance of Trent Bridge and never got to see a game. Possibly because I kept spitting at it. I mean, who can say? And with that, episode 93 of the Eastern Promise podcast commends itself to the archives. Thank you to everyone who attended or played a part in the Norwich Science Supercluster event, especially the Eastern Promise team of Sally Osborne and everyone's favourite quasi-mythical pseudonym, Engineer 49. Next week, our coverage of the Eastern Promise Food Science Supercluster event draws to an exciting conclusion, with our panel giving hope and encouragement to the sector. I look forward to your company, and so, until then, bye for now! To hear other episodes of the Eastern Promise podcast, and to find out more about what we do, go to our website at easternpromise.org.uk. Eastern Promise is a Prior's Croft production in association with Mills and Reeve, achieving more together.